In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it. And may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seal of wisdom, pray for us in the name of Amen.
Rose.
Today we'll continue with the reading of our letters.
Yes. Letter number 96 to Federico Abresh. Fiat in voluntate Dei. Most esteemed one in the divine volition, may heaven reward you for all your attentions. It seems that also Jesus says to you, "Thank you, my son. I am happy with what you have done and with the way you have done it. A thought tells me, but will the Holy Father take the trouble to read it? And then, whom to ask whether he will concede the grace? I think that everything will remain up in the air. Couldn't this friend of yours appeal to someone who would be able to approach the Holy Father to remind him, in order to obtain concession of grace? After all, may the divine will be always done, which should interest us more than anything, because it is divine life. As we call the divine will in our acts, we form the generation of the divine life in our acts. And oh, how happy Jesus is in seeing his life being generated in the acts of the creature. And we are enriched inside and out with as many divine lives for as many acts as we have done in his will. As we desire to do his will, the sacrosanct Trinity gives us his love, covers us with his beauty, gives us his goodness, that we may feel the divine order. In a word, he gives us the necessary raw material in order to form his life. And so in these lives, he feels his own love loving him. He feels as though he is receiving himself from the creature. This is exactly the purpose of God, that we live in his will in order to form his generation in the creature. In fact, all things created by God possess the good of generating. Man generates another man, the bird another bird, and so forth. Should only the divine will not have this good? So let us take to heart living only of divine will. I leave you in the divine volition and greeting you with all that love with which Jesus loves us, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I think in this letter we encounter a very specific and very, in a very clear way, what Luisa Picaretta is teaching, a little bit about the doctrine of the divine will. Here in the second paragraph, where she says, as we call the divine will in our acts, we form the generation of the divine life in our acts. First of all, the idea that we have to call the divine will in us to operate in us, to breathe in us, in everything we do. This is not something new for all of us, because most of you have been studying the divine will for a long time. So this idea of calling the divine will in our acts should be very familiar for all of us. Not the prevenient act, the actual act. And in that way, it's a way to surrender our will to express our desire that we want the will of God to operate in us. There are many ways that we can do it. So, Luisa Picaretta, throughout the Book of Heaven, she explains how she does it in different ways. So, we should be familiar with that. Then the second part, the part that she says we form, so as we call the divine will in our acts, we form the generation of the divine life in our acts. Know how happy Jesus is in seeing his life being generated in the acts of the creatures. So basically what she's saying that yes, these acts, now once we call the divine will to be in us. Now, these acts basically are divinized. They have a human origin because we are human. But by participation, they become basically divine acts, divine actions. They belong now to Jesus because he's the one who is operating. He's using, or we become the channel through which he is generating now this life. Why? Because our Lord Jesus now needs another humanity basically to repeat his life in us. And this goes very well with the teaching of the church in the Catechism 521, in the third petition also. Right now, I don't have the references, but is the third petition about the Our Fathers, in which the church, when it comments on the third petition, the church says something like this: we ask the Father to unite our will to that of his Son so that he may continue his work of salvation. So we become the channel through which our Lord Jesus continues his work in us. Oh God the Father continues the work of salvation through us. As creatures, we know that our will generates acts. That's why once the soul goes out from the body and the person becomes dead, then becomes a corpse, then our Lord Jesus cannot do anything with that, because the human will is needed in order for the will of God to operate in us. So, as long as we are alive, this miracle can happen, right? It came to mind this phrase that as long as we are alive, the miracle of the divine will, basically, which is, it will be the greater miracle that can happen to us. Why? Because this is the way God designed us to operate, and with this gift operating in us, then we will be totally healed from the inside, from the very core of our being, we'll be totally healed. Not only an external healing that we sometimes look for so much, but the healing that is more important to make us complete, to make us totally complete as God the Father desired for all of us to be. It came to mind this phrase also, as you know, in the writings of Maria Valtorta. In the very beginning of the writings of Maria Valtorta, when she sees the vision of Joaquin and Nan making a vow to the Lord, praying, they were praying for to have a child. And we know the prayer was granted. They became the parents of the Blessed Mother. But in that conversation, Maria Valtorta sees the conversation between Anne and Joaquin. And Joaquin, as he listens what Anne says, his answer is very powerful. Let me see if I can read, because I think this applies for us in the divine will too, as we read these writings. This is the answer that Joaquin says to Anne. She says, "We must." Excuse me. He says, "We must continue to hope, to pray. God can do everything. While we are alive, the miracle may happen, especially when we love Him and if we love each other, right?" So the miracle of living in the divine will can happen. While we are alive, there is always hope. That's why this way of living is a constant, it requires a constant giving up of our will, offering up our will to the Lord so He may continue. It's not only once, it's a constant self-giving, offering ourselves to the Lord, sacrificing what? Sacrificing our will. So, that's why our Lord Jesus will say in the Book of Heaven that this is the greatest of all the martyrdoms, because the saints, they offer themselves, they die once. But this way of living is offering ourselves constantly. Basically, dying to our will constantly, letting the divine will to enter in us. And as long as we are alive, this miracle can happen in us. But what is required of us is to keep trying and giving ourselves to the Lord. So if that happened, then Luisa Picaretta says, we will be enriched inside and out with many divine lives. So we have explained this in the past about the divine lives. So the example I have given in the past is this. Just look at the Eucharist. And as many hosts you have there, as many times can our Lord Jesus bilocate in the host. So if we have 100 hosts after they are consecrated, each one of them they contain the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Each one of them is a divine life, we can say. And if we break those, or if we break a host in 1,000 pieces, each one of those pieces contain the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, His divine life. So, as many acts as we do, he is able to repeat his life in us to enter into that. So, that's basically the act becomes the human act, basically becomes the divinized, basically. And this is what he means by the generation of the divine life in our acts. Yes, he's generating, he's putting his life in the human acts. So then, as I explained, the human will generates acts. The soul goes out anymore. You cannot move. We become corpses. No acts can be done anymore. So that's why it's so appropriate here the quote of, or at least I think of Joaquin, that as long as we are alive, there is always hope, and we must keep trying and trying and trying and trying, persevering, because this is what is happening inside of us. And even though we don't see it, this is a reality that is happening in us. As we desire to do His will, the Sacrosanct Trinity gives us His love, right? Covers us with His beauty, gives us His goodness, that we may feel the divine order. In a word, He gives us the necessary raw material in order to form His life. So basically, the Blessed Trinity takes over once we consent. And we have to, again, have this very clear in our mind that this is the, when we say the divine will, it is the will of the Blessed Trinity. It is the will of God. It's not a separate entity apart from the Blessed Trinity. This is the very, we could say, the very heart of the divine, of the Sacrosanct Trinity, of the Blessed Trinity. It is the will of the three. But our connection is the second person, because it was the second person who became flesh like us. And in that humanity, he contained both the divine and the human by nature. So we have to arrive to that also. This is the point that we may arrive to possess in our heart, in our soul, so that the powers of the soul may be inundated and may begin functioning in this way with the human and the divine. The human, because we are alive, and the divine, by participation, by us consenting, giving, calling the divine will. And this takes a great a great effort in a way, because it is constantly giving, giving, giving our will, until it becomes basically our nature, because this is our true nature. We speak about doing things until they become our second nature, meaning that they become easy for us and we made them almost automatically. But in reality, to live in this way, this is our nature, the nature that God wanted us to possess. And now, because Adam departed from that union, and now we, through our Lord Jesus, we have the opportunity, the chance again, to go back to that union by participation. So the will, the human will, has to be involved always. So he gives us the necessary material raw to form his life, yes. And little by little, he's giving us more and more and more, more understanding, and it will become easier. But remember, as we offer ourselves also, the objective here, as we have seen, is for the kingdom of the divine will to come and reign on earth. Everything else becomes secondary. The main objective right now is this, for the kingdom of the divine will to come on earth. Why? Because if it reigns on earth, God the Father will receive, or the Blessed Trinity will receive all the love, all the correspondence of the creature that he deserves from all generations. This is exactly the purpose of God, that we live in his will in order to form his generation in the creature. The generation, of the divine acts, but were in the creature. In our Lord Jesus, all of those acts were divine of nature, but in us. In fact, all things created by God possess the good of generating. Man generates another man, the birth, another birth, and so forth. So should only the divine will not have this good? So how does the divine will generate acts in us? If these acts are done by God, then immediately they become divine. So the same, in the same way, after the the consecration that host becomes divine. So how is that? Is he going to do that? Through the will, because the will generates acts. Yeah. Let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 97. My good daughter, thank you for your holy wishes. I return them to you from the heart. Work always in a holy and upright way, that you may be able to say, I rise again with all my acts together with my sweet Jesus. How beautiful it is to be able to say, in everything I do, I call Jesus to rise again. I make his will my own, to make of it my life, in order to be one single act with the divine will. My daughter, this is my wish for you. I recommend that you never be disturbed. Love, peace. Jesus reigns in peaceful souls. May peace and trust be the arms with which you take refuge in every encounter, in the most holy heart of Jesus, to live together with him. Never, never go far away from him if you want to be holy. I leave you in the divine volition. I send you my regards from the heart. Pray for me. I send you all the love of the fiat as greeting. The little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Okay, thank you. See, she gives us here in this letter also a way basically to unite ourselves with the divine will, or to call the divine will in us in a very simple way. I say again, with all my acts together with my sweet Jesus, how beautiful it is to be able to say, in everything I do, I call Jesus to rise again. Then simple things like she says here, I make his will my own. Jesus, I make your will my own. Jesus, I want to be dissolved in your will. There are many ways that we can call the divine will to be in us. It's just a matter of learning and getting used to that. You know, there are many ways. And this is something that we have to, as we read, we have to be able to see, because sometimes I hear that people say, well, if you don't say it in this particular way, then you are not in the divine will. Then the divine will is not operating in you, you know? So that's not really truth, because there are many ways that we can enter. Here, what we have to have is the disposition in our hearts, in our soul, the right disposition, and also to be in the state of grace as much as we can, so that the will of God be able to operate, because this is how it operated in the person of our Lord Jesus and in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is how it operated in Adam and Eve before the fall, because we can say they were conceived without sin also. Adam and Eve, they were conceived without sin. It is us after the fall that we share the consequence of that, and the consequence to have all they became separated. So that's the effect. All the what before was harmony, and Adam possessed harmony. The Catechism tells us that he was in harmony within himself, with one another, in nature, and everything was harmonious and balanced and everything. And after that, we see chaos, right? So chaos in all of that is a consequence of the fall. And what is original sin is departing from that union. So he requires that we may enter into that, but the dispositions in our hearts, these are the dispositions. We have to be in the state of grace as much as we can. That's why all the sacraments are needed. The sacrament of baptism is needed in order to enter into this, because without baptism, then we still, right, basically separated from God. It is in baptism that we are filled with God's goodness, with His divine life, with His beauty, with His love, with everything that He is, with God Himself, giving Himself to the creatures. The highest good, giving Himself to the creature, because the highest good has nothing else to give but Himself. Then in baptism is we can say, the enthronement of the Blessed Trinity in the creatures, God returning into His rightful place, taking His rightful place in the creatures. Remember, creation was done for us, was made for us, but we were made for God. And we were made to love Him, to serve Him, and to offer everything back to Him. And that includes us to offer our will to God, basically to offer that spiritual part of us, which is our soul, which contains three powers or three senses. So we give ourselves in that way to God. So that's what it has to be in the creature, in the soul. But then different ways of calling the divine will to be in us, to enter in our actions, even through the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe in me, palpitate in me. That beautiful prayer that we find in the Liturgy of the Hours, in the midday, to the Holy Spirit, calling the Holy Spirit to breathe in us, to palpitate in us, to make us anew, until with Him we have one will to live and to endure. So, forever, right? So that's one of the ways we can enter into that way of living in the divine will. And Elizabeth Carreta says, never depart from this union, never walk away from Him. You want to be holy, you want to be filled constantly with God's beauty, with God's divine life. You want to be covered constantly with His goodness, with everything that God is. This is the way to do it. This is the way to grow spiritually. We can say this is the direct way, the original way to grow spiritually. And now, who is guiding all this is the Holy Spirit. That's why the Catechism says that what the soul is for the body that gives life, the Holy Spirit is for the church. It keeps the church moving. And the church is all of us, the baptized, meaning that it keeps us growing and moving forward towards that ultimate union that God intended for each one of us. So here we have to have that vision always in mind. And in a way, we have to be intentional, right? So this is what have in mind, the focus. We have to have this, you know. As I'm talking to you and as I was reading, these letters, something came to mind, you know, the vision of St. John Bosco. There is a beautiful vision of St. John Bosco in which he sees, actually, it's a dream, but in that dream, he has the vision that he in the sea. He sees a big ship, boats, trying to destroy the big ship, the big boat. A lot of them, with rifles, with cannons, with all kinds of things, trying to destroy it around the big ship. And you see the turbulence of the waves. And you see people inside, and he sees the Pope and the cardinals and praying, trying to go around those and to escape, those little boats that constantly and they are constantly shooting, trying to destroy all around. Front and back on the sides. So you see the Holy Father praying there, and then suddenly he sees that two columns arise, right? Two columns from the sea, two big columns come up. And one column on the top is the Eucharist, and on the other side is the Blessed Mother. And then as these columns arise, then he sees that this ship, this big boat, is anchored in these two, with those big hooks, with those big anchors, with the chain, he says that they are attached to the boat is attached to these two, and then the boat continues to sail, moving forward, leaving behind the other little boats and being destroyed and being triumphant, So that's the vision for the Universal Church, that if we are grounded in the sacraments and we have the love for the Blessed Mother, that ship, that is the church, represents the church, will not be destroyed. So it's the same for us personally. That ship is our soul. If we are grounded in the Eucharist, the sacraments, and the Blessed Mother, then we are going to be able to move forward. And the wind is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be able to move us and push us forward, and become triumphant, right? Leaving behind all the things. And here, what it has to be destroyed is the human will, in a way. Not that we are going to get rid of our human will, but because we need it, but that the human will not dominate us, but it will be the divine will. And since this is the action of the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit moving us forward. So if we, with the knowledge of the divine will, calling the divine will constantly, is like calling the Holy Spirit to move us forward. But we have to have that disposition in our hearts and our souls, and then be grounded in the sacraments and the Blessed Mother. Because remember, the mission of the Blessed Mother is that all her children may possess the gift of the divine will. Because this, in this way, God's justice will be appeased. He will receive all the glory from all his creatures, and the Blessed Mother will have given us that gift that Adam and Eve lost. So Eve was supposed, through Eve, this gift was supposed to be given by us by birth. So it is fitting that now the new Eve is the one who is going to give it to us, this gift. This gift is, it will be basically transmitted, given to us by the new Eve. That's why the Blessed Mother is so important. So that little boat represents our soul. The wind is the Holy Spirit moving us forward, and we have to be grounded in these two pillars, the sacraments and the Blessed Mother. And what is our objective? What is our main purpose? To move forward and to offer all these trials and everything for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth, to offer them always for that. And in that, Luisa Picaretta says in the first letter, if we do that, then he will be able to enrich us enrich us with insight and out, and also in a physical way, because this is the reality. The explanation of the Our Father, he says, when he explains the Our Father in Book 14, he says, I pray for three kinds of bread: the bread of the divine will, the sacrament, which is the Holy Eucharist, and then the physical bread, so that we will lack nothing. But the most important one is the divine will. In this way, it becomes a reality. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be given unto you. We seek the kingdom of God through every single act, through every single action, through every trial we go through every joy. You know, life is not only trials, I hope not, but it's also joy, happiness, because that's what God wants us to also possess, is a little taste of the eternal happiness that he wants for us, the eternal joy, the eternal perfection, because he loves us so much with love that goes beyond our understanding. We will never be able really to comprehend in this life this gift, but we try to do it as much as we can, with the help also. We have to have always in mind, with the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you have been doing it, but I ask, or I suggested that you may pray this prayer of the Holy Spirit during this time, 50 days before we arrive to Pentecost, because I think, especially for those who know the divine will, this is a very important period of time, because now we know what we are asking for. Right, that the Holy Spirit may come and may fulfill the purpose that God intended for all of us, that we may go back to the orders, to the purpose for which He created us. And this is the time of the Holy Spirit. It is the time of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. Our Lord Jesus completed His work of redemption, reconciling us with the Father. And now the third person of the Blessed Trinity is basically in charge to bring us back to God in a perfect way, right? To bring us back to Him so that the whole circle be complete, that God created us, we went out, Jesus restore us, and now we have to go back, restore, and He will perfect in us what is lacking if we really persevere. So again, those words of Joaquin and Maria Valtorta, I think they are very, very good. As long as we are alive, this miracle can happen. As long as we keep praying, asking, hoping, He will do it in us. Let's try to see if we can do the next letter before we go to a passage that I want to share.
Letter number 98 to Mother Cecilia. My good and dearest mother, I thank you infinitely for your wishes and also for your attentions. With all the affection of my heart, I return your wishes. Wishes which come from the sighs and the suffocated love of our dear Jesus. He sighs, moans, and reaches the point of crying for the desire that we live in his will. But do you know why, my mother? He wants us to love with his own love, to be saints of his own sanctity, to be invested with his own beauty. Only in his divine will can we possess these divine qualities, which render us almost like him. And Jesus, in seeing his likeness in us, loves us so much as to take us in his arms and nourish us with his love. And if we have to work, he himself wants to do whatever we need to do. Fearing that we may come down from his arms, detach ourselves from his love, and make his sanctity fade. This is my wish, my dearest mother, that living always in his will, you may rise again in his resurrection. Jesus awaits us in his will to make us rise again in his own resurrection. Only in his will are we able to say, I have loved Jesus. I have done everything he wants. I have done everything, and I have given him everything, even Jesus himself. You have to bear with me, my mother, for I am unable to send any other wish but that his will live in us, because in it there is the highest good I can wish you, and I love you as Jesus loves you. I send my wishes to the sisters who know me and remember me. And this is it for all in two words. I want what Jesus wants, to do what Jesus does. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you in the eternal waves of the sea of the divine volition to become a great saint. I kiss your right hand. Renewing my thanks and wishes, I greet you with the very love of the most holy divine will. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So here we have another way that Luisa Picarreta unites herself with our Lord Jesus and calls basically the divine will to operate in her. We can see, I want what God wants, to do what God wants. Jesus, I want to do what you want to do. Luisa Picarreta, she talks basically on behalf of our Lord Jesus as she talks to the sisters, and she says that Jesus, our Lord Jesus, wants to love with his own love, to be saints, that we may be saints with his own sanctity, which is divine sanctity. He wants us to be invested with his own beauty, basically with his own divine qualities, the divine attributes in us. It is only in his divine will can we possess these divine qualities. And what happens when the divine qualities operate in us, when we are invested with God's beauty and goodness? He renders us basically like him. He renders us to be another Jesus, basically fulfilling what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches in 381, that he's the first one of many that are to come. So we are those many that the Catechism is talking about, 381 of the Catechism. And Jesus, in seeing his likeness in us, basically in seeing himself in us, he loves us so much. And he nourishes us with his love. You know, as we were reading this, another passage that came to mind, now that we are talking about Maria Valtorta today, is that when there is a passage when the Lord presents the disciples to the Blessed Mother, and after he brings the disciples to the house of Nazareth and spends some days with the Blessed Mother, he asks the Blessed Mother, what do you think about them? And she goes and says what she thinks about each one of them, and then she says, but the youngest one, he is almost like you. When he is here, I feel like it is you. See? He was John was the one who was be able to configure another Jesus, basically. He was configured another Jesus, and his simplicity, his purity allow him to do that. So this is what our Lord Jesus wants to do with us, to make of us another Jesus. To fill us with his own sanctity. To be resurrected, to die to our human will, and to be resurrected in his will. He wants us to give us the highest good. He wishes us the highest good. You know, in a way, another thing that comes to mind also is that, you know, I always think that the person who introduced the divine will to me, I regard that person as the highest benefactors. That's my highest benefactors because, as our Lord, as Luisa Picaretta says, that it is the highest good that I can wish to you, she says. And the divine will is the highest good because it contains everything. It's God, is the will of God. So it's the highest good we can wish for another creature, for another person. And that's why, you know, along with Father Robert Young too, that he was very instrumental, especially for me, and I know for many of you too, that in a way he's also the highest benefactor for all of us. Right? The highest benefactor that we can have. And this is what we are called to do too, to be the higher benefactor for others. The best thing that we can give to others is this gift because it's the highest good. So we pray, we remember all the teachings of Father Robert Young, all his acts, physical, spiritual. We offer them to God, the Father, to the Blessed Trinity, for the divine will to descend upon earth. And we ask Father Robert Young to pray for us that we may receive more light, understanding, and how to live in this divine science. May the divine will inundate him with all that he is, with all that God is, beauty, love, and goodness. Before we go today, I want to share with you a passage. It's from January 11, 1922, volume 13, January 11, 1922. This is what I wanted to share. It's a little bit long, but Jesus says to Luisa Picaretta, "My daughter, the church is my mystical body, of which I glory in being the head." So the church is the body, he is the head. But in order to be able to enter this mystical body, the members must grow to the proper stature. To be baptized, basically, also. Otherwise, they will deform my body. But alas, how many not only do have the due proportion, but are rotten, wounded, so much as to be disgusting to my head and to the other healthy members. Now, the souls who live in my will, or will live. So he's talking about all of us were trying, right? And all of those will come. So it says, the souls who live in my will or will live in the future will be for the body of my church, like skin to the body. So the body contains internal skin and external skin. And because in the skin there is the blood circulation which gives life to the whole body, it is by virtue of this circulation that the members reach the proper stature. If it was not for the skin of the body circulation, the human body will be horrid to the sight, and the members will not grow to due proportion. So how important is the skin in the body that it covers the internal organs, and it also protects and nourishes those organs' circulation. So all of you who are nurses and doctors know can relate with this, right? Now, see how these souls who live in my will are necessary to me, since I have destined them to be like skin to the body of my church and like circulation of life for all the members. They will be the ones who devote to the members who will heal, continues, will restore the freshness, the beauty, the splendor. Let me stop there. What are the members, the ungrown members of the church? Still, those who are not united to the will. That's why when we remember, we offer, we recall, and we offer what is missing, the purpose. Many saints, they did many sacrifices out of love for Jesus. That's excellent. Out of fervor and love, right? They encounter martyrdom and everything, but the purpose for the kingdom of the divine will was missing. So what he's saying, these members who will live in the divine will, they will complete, they will help these ungrown members to grow to the stature that we are all supposed to arrive. So in a way, completing that generation, that those generations basically are incomplete. In the first letter, we saw that the divine will, as we call the divine will in our acts, we form the generations of the divine acts, the divine lives in every act. So this is what is missing in the life of all other saints, basically, and all other creatures, that they do not know this gift, or they don't strive to live in this gift. So that's why it's important. So this is, the Lord is comparing the skin of the body to those who will live in the divine will and how important it is. So now, see how the souls who live in my will, in a few moments, sorry. Now, see how these souls who live in my will are necessary to me, since I have destined them to be like skin to the body of my church and like circulation of life to all members. They will be the ones who will give the proper growth to the ungrown members. So in a way, I explain how we do that. Again, offering, remembering, offering, and giving for the divine will to descend, because that's what is missing in the acts of those members. And who by the continuous living in my will restore the freshness, the beauty, the splendor of the whole mystical body, rendering it fully similar to my head, which will sit with all majesty upon all members. This is why the end of days cannot come if we do not have these souls who live as though dissolved in my will. So I think there is also a little bit of consolation here, because many times people, they panic and they think this is the end, blah, 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 blah. But the Lord Jesus is telling us here, the end of days cannot come if there are not enough souls who are living in this way, dissolved in his divine will. So this is another way to enter into the divine will. I dissolve my will into your will. I dissolve all my acts in yours, Lord Jesus, for the purpose of the kingdom to descend. And in this, he's perfecting those acts of the past of the saints, I mean, of the saints, and also everybody who is also gone. They interest me more than anything, talking about these souls. They interest me more than anything. What impression is mistake in the celestial Jerusalem them? He has interest more than anything. It must interest you also more than anything, if you love me. And in I, from now on, will give to all your acts done in my will the virtue of circulation of life from the whole for the whole mystical body in the church. This is very important because what he's saying is that he will give, basically, he will do good to all the mystical body through our acts. So, yes, by uniting ourselves in the divine will, dissolving our life in the divine will, we are basically praying constantly for the whole church. We're giving good. The Lord Jesus is doing it through our acts. So he says, like blood circulation for the human body, your acts extended within the mystic, within the immensity of my will extend over all, and like skin will cover these members, giving them proper growth. Therefore, be attentive and faithful. See, the skin doesn't cover only the heart, only certain parts of the body. It covers the whole thing. I think it's the biggest organ that we have. So it protects the whole body. It does good to the whole body. We can say it nourishes the whole body. And this is what our Lord Jesus is doing, is comparing the souls who want to live in the divine will with the skin of the body, that they will do good to all the members. Through that, through those acts, our Lord Jesus will do good. So another thing, is it necessary to be constantly saying for all past, present, and future? No, it's implied. I mean, you want to do it, you can do it. You are free to, you have free will, you can do it. But the point is, see how this divine science is not just like, okay, you have to do this, and if you don't do this, then you're not. No. What is required is that we may have that disposition in our hearts that I talk about. So that's why the sacraments are important, and the desires, the knowledge, and then for us to have that constancy in our hearts, in our souls, to give it, to be always giving our life to the Lord, and He will fill us with everything that He is with, very basically with Himself, which is love, mercy, goodness, beauty, justice. Everything that he is, so many divine attributes that are not really adaptable to our human mind. But one day we hope we will be able to understand them and see them as they are and enjoy that eternal vision that God has prepared for us. It's just a matter of us wanting to enjoy that eternal happiness and beginning here, beginning to leave heaven right here on earth. In this way, we leave heaven because we possess the divine life in us. So let us finish there today, and let us thank the Holy Spirit for all the graces we have received, and asking, begging Him to continue filling us with His presence.